Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addisk, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Thursday, July 11th, 2013. Wendy Wilson will be joining us for the first segment of the program, talking to you about health, and it will be followed by segments on wealth. We're going to talk a little bit about the derivative market, and I'm going to give some comparisons on $20 gold to show what they've done in the past. Quite surprising in the numbers. So this is what you can look forward to, and we'll be talking about unemployment and many, many other things, so make sure you stay tuned. But first, before we get started, let's go to the markets, and everybody should be very excited today. We had a nice little day in gold, and we have gold up 22 bucks today at 1286. And if anybody's watching the futures prices on CNBC and any of the other financial news programs, they actually will be showing the futures numbers up about 30 some dollars. So, but for spot, we're looking up at 22 at 1286. Silver, it's wonderful to see silver over 20.26 today, up 3.5%, up 69 cents. You have platinum up 35 bucks today at 1411, along with palladium up 3 at $723. So again, very nice to see silver. And, oil today is down about a buck and a half at 104.70, still way above that 100 level. The USDX today, that just tumbled over the past couple of days, down 0.79 at 82.67. Beginning of the week, it was approaching 85. So big drop there. And along with the euro, that was up over 130. Last time I looked at that a couple of days ago, it was 128. So big change in currencies. And on the paper side of the markets, you have the Dow and the S&P both finished at record highs. And of course, that is all on the hope that the Fed will continue stimulus. So the Dow is up 169 points today at 15,461, with the NASDAQ up 57 at 35.78, S&P up 22 at 16.75. So you had the 10-year yield today, that fell a little bit, 2.57 down, 0.11. And that's pretty much it in the market cap today. Again, we'll be talking a little bit more finances after the first segment with Wendy Wilson. And first, I want to say good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
And We'll have to bring Wendy on if she is there. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Good afternoon, Al.
Hello, Wendy.
Hey, everybody can hear me? Yes, yes.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
So did you have something you wanted to start with, or shall I start the festivities with a question?
I always got stuff. Hey, Al, you know what? We don't have to worry about diets anymore. We don't have to worry about working out, because you know why? There's an Italian.
There won't be any food?
No. Well, no. I mean, if you don't like the way your body looks, your physique, maybe, you know, you need to lose a few pounds, or, you know, you're just not happy with it. Well, you know, in a few short years, an Italian scientist, Sergio Canavero, is going to be able to prove that he can perform the first successful head transplant. So it's not a face, an eyebrow, a nose, an ear, it's the whole head. You get a donor body in there. You know, maybe, you know, Mr. Olympia died in a car crash tragically, and he's got a great-looking body, right? So, hey, just swap heads, and you're all done.
Well, that's an intriguing idea, but I'm not necessarily interested in getting a new body. If anything, I would be willing if you could just roll back the odometer a little bit. You know, that would suit me just fine. I'm prepared to work with what the good Lord gave me, but...
Hey, Wendy, you didn't include me on that one.
Well, I'm sorry. Well, Melody, now. I mean, the problem with this thing is, you know, he's got this... he thinks he's perfected the procedure because it's been tried in the past on animals, like a monkey lived a couple of days, you know, but they weren't able to connect the spinal cords. So now he's got this procedure where he can fuse the spinal cords. It's called the Gemini procedure. You have to cool the body and cool the head down to, I think, 55 degrees Fahrenheit before you can start the procedure. And you only got an hour to do it. So anyway, they're crazy. You know, these scientists are just nuts. And the other thing that's come out this week is, and I know the insurance company, especially life and health insurance, is going to love this. They have this blood test they've perfected where they can pretty much predict how long you're going to live.
Yeah, I saw that. But, you know, does that help those people that get frozen after they die, the cryonics people?
I don't think so, because they have to, like, put you in, like, a stasis where, you know, I would assume you would have to have some sort of oxygen and blood flow to the brain, because it would just die within a short period of time, an hour, you know, I think you're toast. So I'm not sure about all those details, but they're crazy. The other thing that's interesting is, the Democrats, did you hear about this, Al? I know Al would love this one. You too, Melody, though. They've introduced a new bill into the House. Now, remember, the Congress is really good at naming post offices. That's what they're good at. But now they've introduced this bill where they're going to have a national park on the moon.
Yeah. A national park on the moon.
Yeah, yeah. Donna Edwards, Democrat from Maryland, Eddie Bernice Johnson, Democrat from Texas, have created the Apollo Lunar Landing Sites National Park Bill to protect all the, the remnants, the artifacts left on the moon, because they said they are sure as tomorrow is going to be that, there's going to be increased commercial moon traffic and landings, and they just want to protect that monument up there.
And not only protect it, but charge admission. For people who want to go.
Yeah, I mean, Yosemite and, Old Faithful and Mount Rushmore, all thing of the past. It's the moon now. Got to go to the moon to see, see the sights.
Boy, I don't know. Do you suppose there'll be any job openings up there for forest rangers or anything like that to prevent forest fires? Will they have Smokey the Bear up there or anything?
I don't know. It's just, they're nuts. The Democrats have just lost their... You know, marbles. They need to go to the land of the lost boys. That's where they need to be.
It is the whole government becomes increasingly bizarre. And it's evidence that, to me, again, the whole situation is getting ready to fall apart. Here, I've got one for you. Vaccinated children have up to 500% more disease than unvaccinated children. This is from worldtruth.tv. Suspicions have been confirmed for those wary of vaccinating their children. A recent large study corroborates other independent study surveys comparing unvaccinated children to vaccinated children. They all show that vaccinated children have 2 to 5 times more childhood diseases, illnesses, and allergies than unvaccinated children.
Yeah, it's a corruption of the immune system. Dr. Carley's pretty much established that. What she's been saying for a decade, you know, is they're just now catching up to what she's saying with some evidence. So, of course, the evidence has been out there. They just buried it. And so I tell folks, if you've got kids, you know, find an other way than having the children at the hospital. I mean, there's a way to do this the safe way without having the child of inoculated as soon as it pops out, you know. I'm a grandmother, by the way. My grandson, my first grandchild, was born on the 29th of June. And
well,
baby Addison. Yeah, baby
we,
boy
could,
Addison.
Can we say congratulations, or is that cause for...
Yeah, he's a cute little thing.
I understand. Having the baby is great, but I don't know about moving into the grandmother-grandfather thing. That you kind of approach that with a certain amount of mixed emotions.
I'm a
grandmother, grandfather, whatever. But I'm not sure whether we...
I know.
It takes a little adjusting.
It hadn't sunk in, really. I mean, I've seen the baby, held the baby, it's cute as a button, but I guess it won't sink in until the child speaks grandma or grandmother to me, you know, granny, whatever. Until he actually says it, I probably won't feel like I'm a grandma.
Well, you're going to have to teach the child to call you big sis.
Oh, there
of
you go.
That's my little brother.
I know, my son said, Mom, what do you want to be called? And I said, well, let's see, Grandma, Granny, Your Majesty will do, you know, any of those. But I don't like some of those other traditional names like Mima and some of those southern names. I prefer to skip that part.
Well, I don't know, will you be the one who gets to choose the name, or will it be up to the child to decide what child is going to call?
Yeah, I mentioned that to my son because he had trouble saying grandmother or grandma, and he was able to pronounce granny. So the grandmothers in his life were Granny Pat and Granny Wilson. So I guess I'll be a Granny Wilson if this child follows in the path of his dad, you know?
Well, we look forward to finding out whether the child is going to change your name, give you a new name from a child. Does that count? You go to the
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. When I was growing
up, on your mailing address?
I know. When I was growing up, my grandmother's sister, so my great aunt, I couldn't say her name, but she would read me this children's book, and it had a character in it by the name of Puddin'-tane. So I affectionately called her Aunt Puddin'-tane. It's really weird, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. It's just what kids do. You know, it makes sense for the child. It's hard for adults sometimes to understand, but fun for the kids. Guess
maybe,
what?
Hey, maybe we should get
the kids sitting around whispering to each other. Guess what I'm going to call grandma from now on?
Let's get some elementary school kids, and maybe they can explain the government to us. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if they can explain it, but they can perhaps give it a name that makes a little more sense than what we see right now. I've got another one here. You talked about people relocating heads. Keep your head. This is going to mean if you can get that body from Mr. or Mrs. Olympia. It's a lot of money to be made for plastic surgeons. Because you're going to be taking these 80-year-old heads and mounting them on a 25-year-old body, and there's going to be a difference. You understand? I mean, they're going to want to take the wrinkles out and all the excess. There's going to be extra dollars to be made for plastic surgeons. But here's another one along that line. Has the era of genetically pure Gataka babies now begun? I'm not even sure what Gataka is. Some term they use here in the article. It's not familiar to me, but should selective breeding be used to improve the human race? Should we genetically screen embryos shortly after conception and choose only those that are the most genetically pure? And they point out that this is now possible thanks to next generation DNA sequencing, and we can tell pretty quickly whether an embryo has any genetic defects, and therefore it will be possible to select and only have children that are pretty close to perfect. Do you think that's a good idea?
I don't know. I'm pretty sick of the science turning everything into, you know, a new form of technology, basically, or food and everything. They've cracked open Pandora's box, in my opinion, we got some serious problems in the food chain. So I guess because of what I see in the food chain happening and what's happening in the environment because of what they've been doing with Monsanto and all the GM, I don't even think we have to worry about them getting far enough to determine who's born and who's not, because, the food chain's just going to be corrupted.
Won't be that long, and we won't be able to have children in any case. We'll probably all be infertile, but we'll still be capable of eating French fries and ho-hos. In any case, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, of course it means abortion. If we're going to select these children, we're going to select embryos after they're just a few days or week or whatever after conception and make some sort of a test, it means we're going to abort those babies at a very early point if they're not perfect. But one of the things that crosses my mind, we would all prefer to have perfect children. And other than my own parents, not many succeeded. My parents had a perfect son, but other than that, the rest of us.
Are you talking about yourself, Al?
Yeah, I'm talking about myself. I had no brothers and one half sister, so I'm the only one that came out perfect. But other than that, where I'm going with this is this. There are a lot of people who have children who are impaired. And we can see that that's a terrible burden on one level that most of us wouldn't want. But at the same time, from a spiritual perspective, you know, I'm wondering if the imperfect child doesn't bring out a different kind of love than the perfect child.
Yeah, and I think the child teaches the parents.
As a species, are we better off to take whatever we get and learn to love it, even if it's not perfect? Or should we only love those children that are perfect?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you do have a special child, I think the parents change, and I think they become better people, to be honest. I think you're right.
That's what I'm talking about here. I mean, there's a point to, you know, another perfect child. Good God, everybody wants one. I mean, we would all like to have perfect children, but...
Well, if you look back in time, a lot of those geniuses like Mozart and all these artists, you know, that throughout the centuries, you know, they were odd. They weren't normal, you know, compared to what society said at the time. And so, you know, you have to wonder, you know, what would have been in their DNA code that would have scientists say, oh, no, this is a no, we're not going to have this. So, I mean, and you got to wonder with the abortion stuff, the nonsense of killing babies, how many brilliant people have we, you know, not allowed to live?
I understand. You know? I understand exactly what you're saying. And if we could select children. If there were criteria where they could be genetically approved or disapproved, we can wonder if they're going to find a gene that makes some children more conducive to being dissidents or, loners or whatever.
Well, it's all about control, obviously, Al. So, I mean, they're going to just control the amount of geniuses and the amount of people that are not quite as smart, so they'll have more control. So, I mean, it's just all about control and power.
Interesting times.
Yeah.
We're definitely in interesting times, but we are out of time for this segment. So, Wendy, why don't you give folks some contact information, and we will be on our way.
Absolutely. They can view our website at thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, or if they don't have access to the web, they can call us toll-free at 866-229-3663 and request a free product catalog, immune boosting, organ cleansing. That's what we're experts at. So 866-229-3663 for a free product catalog. Thanks, Al. Thanks, Melody. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Wendy. Talk to you next Thursday. All right, folks, we're going to take a break for a couple of commercial announcements. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com, or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's the special du jour, Melody?
Well, we got a lot of things going on today. We're going to continue the special at yesterday's prices. I don't know how much better it can get for you, folks. You can pick up the Swiss franc, the 20 Swiss franc, brilliant uncirculated. Pre-1933, plus 20 one-ounce silver eagles, yesterday's price, before we've had the 3.5% increase in silver today, includes shipping for $765. I refuse to give it away, folks, but this is almost the same thing as giving it away. Yesterday's prices, we've had gold up over $20 today, and again, silver up 3.5. You could pick up the special at yesterday's prices. Give us a call, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. $765 for a Swiss 20 Swiss franc, almost a fifth of an ounce of gold, along with 20 1 ounce Silver Eagles, current year, 2013s. So make sure you give us a call. The gals, the staff is waiting for your phone call. So give them a call and get those prices locked in. I also wanted to do a little bit of an update on $20 gold pieces. Very interesting. I started to do a quick comparison today, and I thought, well, I'll go back 1 month, see where spot gold was a month ago along with $20 gold. So I pulled up the June 11th prices. Spot gold at that time was $1,377. Today we're looking at gold roughly around $1,285, basically a $90 difference. $20 gold pieces in Mint State 61, they're only down $20 versus almost $100 in spot. We see the same thing in $20 Liberties in Mint State 62, only a $10 difference. Where you see the big drop in $20 gold pieces are the extra fines. They actually dropped $130. So again, your best value, your best performance, your best protection are Mint State coins. The lower grades have done extremely well.
The lower grades of Mint State.
The lower grades
61, 62, 63.
Exactly.
Okay, but the extra, the brilliant uncirculated, for example, extra fine, those are not Mint State per se. They are more like bullion coins, and they haven't done as well as Mint State. True?
That is exactly true. Very good, Al. So, yes. So, again, folks, I have a lot of clients that have been buying the Mint State 61 $20 gold pieces basically as their bullion coins. They call in. They want the price on 1 ounce Gold Eagle coins. I price them the 61 $20 Liberties, give them the benefits of the Mint State 61 $20 Liberties, and basically at the great buy low, sell high, they end up purchasing the $20 Liberties, because if you're looking for value, folks, that's where it's at. So give us a call and let us explain it, give you an education on $20 gold pieces and why they are important in your portfolio. 1-800-375-4188.
Okay, Melody, what's next?
We had a question from the other day. This is in from Ron. And he said he hears all kinds of warnings about the derivative market. When it falls, everything else is going to follow. He says, what might cause the demise of the derivative market? Everyone says it's so complicated, no one can understand it. He's beginning to think it's just another boogeyman that we're told to be afraid of. And he wants to know if he'd appreciate it if we could address the derivative market.
Well, he's right to the extent that the derivatives are allegedly so complex that it's unclear who really understands what's going on here. All right. What we do understand, we don't necessarily understand what's happening with derivatives, but we do have a grasp of the magnitude of the numbers. And derivatives globally were allegedly over $1 quadrillion back a year ago. They have since the last time I saw the derivative market, where someone was talking about the total derivative market for the world, was in the neighborhood of $700-800 billion. It's no longer over
trillion.
A quadrillion, and it's now down $700-800 billion.
Trillion.
Or excuse me, trillion. Trillion. You gotta keep these how many in a Brazilian? You know, that was President Bush's question in the old joke. There's, a 1,000 Brazilians going to fight in the... How many in a Brazilian? We allegedly have something like $700-800 trillion in derivatives. And there's nothing to back them up. And when you do mathematics on this and you divide it by the population of the Earth... And I'm not going to even embarrass myself again by attempting to do the mathematics here on the program, but you can do this yourself. Just take the number, the dollar signs, the dollar value of these derivatives, divide it by the population, and you wind up where the average man globally, every man, woman, and child on the globe, their fair share of the derivatives works out to something like $25,000 to $50,000 each, and there's no way you are going to get $25,000 out of everybody in China or everyone in Africa. You might be able to squeeze it out of the people in the United States, but you can't get it globally. And the point I'm trying to make, I'm trying to illustrate here, is that this derivative market has grown so enormous that if there's a problem and these derivatives, anyone expects these derivatives to be paid essentially at the same time, within a week, within a month, whatever, this whole thing's going up for grabs. So the question, part of his question was, what is it that could trigger a fall in the derivatives market? And one of the answers to that is common sense. Right? If people ever just look around, this is like me telling folks, look, I've got 100 million Cadillacs out in the backyard that I'm prepared to sell you folks for just $20,000 each. Well, if you've got any common sense, you understand I don't have a backyard that big, and I certainly don't have, who knows, 1 million, 10 million, 100 million Cadillacs. And I can't sell them for $20,000 each even if I had them. Go ahead. I can hear you were going to say something, Melody.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt your thought.
I thought maybe you had a dose of tetanus or something, and all of a sudden you wanted to say it, but you couldn't get it out. No.
I didn't mean to interrupt your thought, and my apologies.
No, that's all right.
I shouldn't do that, because you're certainly making a very good point, and your explanation to help folks understand the derivative market is very good. And I didn't want to do that. So if you would like to finish, that's fine, and I'll wait my turn.
Well, the only thing is, look, the numbers are just too big to be.
Well, it's not only that.
Unreasonable. They are large to the point of being irrational.
You're right.
The whole derivatives thing has turned into some sort of a scheme where somebody's making a bunch of money selling derivatives. But again, it's like me selling unicorns, all right? We can also take, we're going to sell, you get a free unicorn. Everybody who listens to the program, we're going to provide you with a free unicorn. These are invisible unicorns, of course, and they'll only cost you $100 each. Such a deal. You know, you got to use a certain amount of common sense. And just because one of the things about derivatives, we talk about it on this program on a fairly regular basis. The key to making a profit in any market is you buy low and you sell high. Huh? You are going to buy when something is cheap, and that means nobody wants it. And then you're going to sell when it goes high and everybody wants it. You have to be a contrarian. There's a little bit of an application for that notion to derivatives. If derivatives, if there's $700-800 trillion worth of derivatives out there, it sounds to me like the fact that they even exist is evidence that they're up at the top end. They're the highest price they could possibly be. If you're going to make money on derivatives, you better have bought when derivatives were low. And now, when there's so many derivatives out there, it suggests the possibility that the price is higher than is reasonable. It suggests the possibility that now is the time to get out of derivatives. If you happen to be there, it wouldn't be a bad idea to just get out. It's just crazy. It's insane. And as Melody said at the beginning, almost nobody understands how they work.
Well, it's not so much that they don't understand how they work. What they don't understand is the risk. That is the part, and how they're valued. That's the problem, because all your banks and your governments view these derivatives in various different ways. The gross notion amount of derivatives that are issued in the USA is probably around 300 trillion, and then you have another 400 coming out of London. So they play numbers on how they're valued. There's no way that they can be valued. However, your derivatives have underlying assets. Those assets can be stocks, they can be bonds, they can be currencies, and their interest rates. Why do you think there's such a big pressure on keeping interest rates low? It's impossible to know what that true risk of derivatives are when you're looking at those large numbers that you have mentioned. If you have a sudden very large increase in interest rates, it could trigger trillions of dollars in payments.
That can't be paid.
That can't be paid. If the U.S. dollar comes under heavy selling pressure for any extended period of time, we've seen it happen to the British pound. We've seen it happen to other currencies or a host of other currencies. The Fed would be able to defend the dollar only at the risk of inducing the widespread systemic failure. I mean, it's another reason why rates cannot rise for many, many years, no matter what they say, no matter how they condition you to believe that you're going to have these rates that are going to rise. So regardless of whether it destroys the interest rates, regardless of whether it's going to destroy its status as a world reserve currency, they'll do everything they can, even if it exposes them to extreme levels of inflation, and you can even say hyperinflation.
Yeah.
But again, it's another reason why governments lie about the true rate of inflation. They have to avoid the pressure to raise interest rates. So we know what derivatives are. We know what derivatives are. We just don't know how they're going to value. That's why you've had these major banks, your Bank of America's, your JP Morgan. That's why they've created accounts to move a lot of these derivatives into insured accounts by the taxpayer.
Yeah.
That's why the FDIC is coming out and say, hey, if something happens, we don't have the money to cover those accounts. The FDIC doesn't have money to cover any accounts. I mean, they're so poorly insured. They're extremely underinsured as far as covering any type of an account if there's some sort of an emergency or a run on banks. I mean, they can't afford that. That's why banks discourage clients for pulling out their money. So if there was anything remotely close to Cyprus here in the States, it's nasty, folks.
But the whole thing is just, it is an incredible Ponzi scheme. Most of what passes for the monetary system in this country and globally is ultimately a kind of extraordinary Ponzi scheme that an eighth grader should tell you won't work, it can't work. And yet we've gone ahead and we've allowed it to exist for a period of time. And it seemed like it was working, but now we're getting to the end of the line. One of the problems with the derivatives is this. I am presuming that if someone's sitting on $1 million worth of derivatives, he is counting that $1 million as an asset. All right? Now, I'm making that assumption. I assume that's how it works. And if that's true, this is like monopoly money. It's not really an asset. And when these derivatives go south and they finally admit they can't be paid, it's going to wipe out trillions of dollars of paper assets that are now treated as valuable by our financial system. When that happens, there's going to be just devastation. And the other thing is this. You were talking about the interest rates. Bernanke and the Federal Reserve want to keep interest rates low. That seems like a great idea, except for one problem. If you keep interest rates low, people who have money to lend don't want to lend at low rates. So they'll take their money and they'll invest it in a foreign country that's paying a higher rate of interest. You can have 0% interest rates over here, and people say, hooray, that's great. Okay, but we are robbing the creditors. The creditors don't want to take a loss. The people who have money, they want to get paid for lending it. They want to lend it at a higher rate than inflation so they can make a couple of percent for themselves. When we keep that rate that low, we drive capital out of the country. There's a point in time, if you want to stimulate the economy, it's counterintuitive, but if you want to stimulate the economy, one of the things you'd have to do, you're going to have to actually increase the interest rate so you can attract more capital coming into the country. Yeah, you might have to pay higher interest rates to borrow the money, but you will be able to get a loan. You keep it down at zero, nobody's going to want to lend you any money. You can say, oh, the interest rate is low, it's great. Yeah, but the creditors don't want to lend any money at that rate. So they are caught. The system is caught between the rock and the hard place. and the space between the rock and the hard place is diminishing all the time, and sooner or later there's going to be a big squeeze, and some people are going to be very upset, concerned, and ruined. I'm Alfred Addis. This is Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, we have a grocery store here in State College, Wegmans.
It's nothing to brag about. We have grocery stores. You're not the only place that has grocery stores.
Wegmans, everybody loves Wegmans. They've got the best bread, and they do a lot of their own baking, and so people spend hours at this grocery store. What's interesting, it's a Rochester-based grocery store that is and they've always provided health insurance to its part-time workers. But with this new Obamacare, guess what? They're going to pull their health insurance to its part-time workers. They will no longer offer that benefit. And until recently, they offered it to folks who worked 20 hours per week.
That would be a lot of people who take the job just to get the health insurance.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. There'd be a lot of people who would take that part-time job just to get the health insurance.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And here's this. They employ about 1,400 full-time employees. Their part-time employees, 4,300. So
they have three times as many part-time employees as full-time employees.
So it also tells you that with 1,400 employees that they're going to have to continue to pay for the health care.
For full-time.
look at the increased premiums that they're expecting to pay.
Well, it may be part of the reason why they're canceling the health care for the part-time. It may be that the cost of health care is going to increase so much for the 1,400 full-time workers that they've got to turn loose the health care for the 4,300 part-time?
4,300 part-time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's just another evidence.
Because, I mean, if you're already paying health insurance for part-time employees, why would you stop it unless your costs for your full-times are going to rise so significantly?
Well, it may be that the cost of health care, they just figured even
overall,
the cost of health care overall, whether you're full-time or part-time, if you have health care, there's going to be an increase.
Thanks to
Obamacare, it's going to cost more money. And it's hard to say exactly what's going on, but it's all about the money, and it's all about people being squeezed, and it's not going to be it may be a first-time story today, but we're going to see more like it over the course of the next 12, 24 months.
Well, this article also says something interesting here. Companies are required by law to offer health insurance only to full-time employees who work 30 hours or more. So, it's bringing full-time down to 30 hours. There's not much room you can do to help those part-timers.
By the time this is done, and what Obamacare will be shown to be a farce. And what will government's solution be when we have to admit that Obamacare is a farce? What will the solution be, Melody?
What will the solution be, Al?
They'll spend more. They'll say, we got to spend more money in order to protect Obamacare. Guess what? We're going to have to spend more taxpayer dollars in order to hold this wonderful program together. They're not just going to, they will not admit that it's a farce. We'll know it. The people will know it, the government will know it, but the government isn't going to admit it. They're going to insist that there's nothing wrong with Obamacare, that another couple hundred billion dollars won't fix. And the truth of the matter is Obamacare is going to pretty much ruin health care in this country. You know, the thing that always impresses me about Obamacare is that they knew from the beginning and intended from the beginning to ration health care. That's not a new idea. It's been there from the get-go on the Obamacare program. Health care would be rationed. What does that necessarily mean? If they're going to ration health care, it means there will not be enough health care to go around. We need 100 units of health care, but they're going to ration it. Why? Because we aren't going to have 100 units. We're going to have 80 units of health care. And someone is going to be in charge of sitting on one of these panels that have come to be called death panels. That's not the name the government applies, but panels will decide who gets health care and who doesn't. And if you don't, you're going to probably die. From the beginning, you know, people thought, oh, this is great. First, they thought it was going to be free health care, and that was never in the cards, but it was misunderstood. But at least the government was going to be implementing health care for everyone, including the uninsured, and we would all get medical attention, and it'd be great. We'd live in utopia. No, it's going to be rationed. There won't be enough to go around. That's in the cards from the beginning, and on top of which, it'll cost the average man and woman $5,000 in order to get into Obamacare per year. Where's that money going to come from? An extra $100 a week. Where's that money coming from, Melody?
Where's it coming from, Al?
Maybe derivatives. Maybe they can borrow it from the people who have all those derivatives. I don't know. I guess if there's a $250 billion or $700 trillion worth of derivatives, maybe that would be enough to fund Obamacare and make it work for the American people.
Out of thin air, Al.
Out of thin air. That's the best kind of money. Our money is backed by thin air. It's not backed by gold or anything like that, but it is backed by thin air or hot air. You could say hot air. That's what's backing our money. How long can that continue? We don't know, but probably not forever.
Hey, we got an old friend from West Virginia calling us. Jim.
I'm an old friend. I'll take it that I'm kind of old, and I'll accept that graciously. I'll tell you how much of a farce Obamacare is. If you look up H.R. 2962, that is Obamacare. Now, H.R. is a House resolution. Had it been a House bill, H.B. 2962, I could be wrong on this. Alfred, you have 100 times the grip on this as I do. But a House resolution binds only the House. It's not a law, and I can't get any traction on this story. But it's an H.R. 2962. It's a total farce. Nobody has to obey it.
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, I follow what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, and there is a theory to which I subscribe, but it might be mistaken. But the theory is that the government is treating the state of OR, all right? And you see that on your zip code. They're treating it as a territory rather than a state of the union. They're treating the state of TX as a territory rather than a state of the union. There's reason to believe this might be true. And the reason it's important is if we are presumed to be in territories rather than states of the union, the federal government has, Congress has complete legislative jurisdiction over all of the territories. It's in the Constitution. They have only limited authority for the states of the union, but within the territories they can do anything they want, and I strongly suspect, although I can't prove it, that you can take Obamacare, and if you can read it carefully and find out what's really going on, it may be that it really only applies in territories. And if you can establish, no, I'm not in a territory of OR, I'm within the state, I'm within the borders of the state of Oregon, buzz off. You know, one of the other things about Obamacare that pleases me is that the IRS is going to be in charge of enforcing Obamacare. All right, and if you're not signed up for it, they're going to slap you with a fine or a penalty. The reason it's important to me is because I've talked on this program a couple of times. I've been sued for $25,000 a day. That's $9 million a year by the Attorney General of Texas because I was involved in the manufacture and distribution of a controlled substance, which was colloidal silver. It wasn't heroin or methamphetamine or something like that. Colloidal silver, inexpensive antibiotic. We got into that lawsuit and discovered that the definition of drugs and the definition of medical devices both presume the people to be animals rather than men and women made in God's image as per Genesis 1, verses 26 through 28. We advanced a religious freedom defense, and the Attorney General of Texas, after investing 6 years and nearly $500,000 in pretrial investigation and hearings, they dropped the case. The point I'm trying to make is if the IRS is enforcing Obamacare, I believe I can now make the argument the IRS comes knocking on my door. I am going to contest the whole taxing system because it applies. It's based on the presumption that the people are nothing but livestock and animals in violation of fundamental principles found in the Christian faith and Jewish faith.
I don't know
if that makes sense to people, but for me, I'm looking at Obamacare, and I'm saying this is going to keep the IRS off my back. That's my theory.
Well, can I toss this one in? You can go to the Internet, and you can find the incorporation papers for the Internal Revenue Service. I can't remember the lawful bureau they replaced. I can't remember the name of that. In 33, and is now a private offshore corporation. And a corporation has no more right to collect the taxes at gunpoint than does Walmart. They have no more right to file criminal charges than General Motors. So now, these are the simple things which I can't seem to get any traction with. And I'm just hoping and praying sooner than later everybody will see through the farce of the whole shebang. BATF&E is a private offshore, now a Puerto Rican corporation. They have no more right to steal guns in the corner gas station. Now, if I can get something, I don't know how to get something even that simple across to the world. Everybody says,
it's hard. There's information out there. That's not simply difficult to understand. You have to work at it. You have to study, and it may require years of study to come to some of these conclusions, which may or may not be true. But serious people have come to these conclusions, but They're not just hard to understand, they are hard to believe. The average person,
right.
You try to explain this to them, and they can't believe that the government could be that treacherous. Because that's what we're talking about.
You don't know what? You can just go look at Dun & Bradstreet. They don't charge anything to say, yes, it's listed on Dun & Bradstreet. Now, if you want information about that corporation, you have to pay them money. But yeah, I've done this corporation trash since I was a teenager. But now getting people to believe it is a problem.
You can go to Manta.com. At least you could, 18 months, 2 years ago. You could go to Manta.com, which lists millions of corporations in the United States. And you can find a host of separate entities identified as individual corporations that correspond to the office, the IRS office in Austin, Texas, and the IRS office up in Boise, Idaho, and the IRS office in Chicago, and so on. Each one may be a separate corporation, and just in the same sense you can get a franchise for McDonald's, and I may have one here in Idaho or here in Oregon, and you might have one in West Virginia or wherever, and we each have these private corporate franchises. It may be that the IRS is something comparable to, it's not just a single corporation, it's perhaps a conglomerate of a series of corporations.
Oh, it was you who turned me on to Manta. And Manta's search engine is a little trickier to use, but like both houses are in one corporation. And you start tracking it down, it's a subsidiary of the State of West Virginia Corporation, which is a subsidiary.
Mm-hmm. You're coming in and out here, Jim.
Okay. I'll catch you later. God bless you. We love you. Bye.
Thank you, Jim. We'll talk to you another day, maybe next week and so on. But the world is nothing like we are led to believe. And if it weren't for the Internet, we wouldn't be able to assemble enough information where we could kind of work together to figure out what the truth might be. And thanks to the Internet, a lot of people, a growing number of people, are beginning to understand that the government has been defrauding us. They've been misleading us. They have been committing treason against the people of the United States of America, and they've been doing it for a long time. It's not a new situation. Part of the way they've done it is perhaps to treat us as if we were living in territories operating on that presumption rather than states of the union. And that goes to the money system, and that's another, that's a long explanation that we won't try to get into today other than to say Constitution declares that Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1, that no state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debt. That's the states of the union are prohibited from using anything other than gold and silver coin as money. But that prohibition doesn't apply to the territories. And we suspect that when we're using a currency, paper dollars, for example, it's presumed you're in the territory, you voluntarily entered into this fictional territory, and the government has complete legislative authority over you. We don't know it to be true. We think it might be. We're out of time, and we can't go deeper into the subject to confuse you more than you already are, but maybe we'll get into it another time. I'm Alfred Addis. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me.